probably not used to. Tim Williams had asked a question at the end of, when he came up after class last week, and I was just really wanting to answer that, but he's not here, so I don't want to answer it, so we'll skip over it. But however, I'm going to pray, but if you've got any questions in relationship to some of the things we talked about last week, we'll get into it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the time that we could be together. Again, Lord, I just asked with all the depths of my heart, God, that you would give us revelation of how you operate, how you order things, your ways. And so, Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Just real quick, what we're doing is we're talking about our sovereign God, and we're there on the back of page three, there are five statements that, there's Tim, so I can ask Tim's question. I was already talking about you. There's these five statements that we're just using as a foundation to operate by. And these five statements are: the sovereign God has created and established every being with purpose, time, boundaries, and authority. Then the sovereign God allows everyone the freedom to receive and fulfill or reject and violate purpose, time, boundaries, and authority. And then the sovereign God will judge how every being fulfills or violates his purpose, time, boundaries, or authority. And then the sovereign God judges and recompenses how purpose, time, boundaries, authority utilize. And then the fifth thing is sovereign God seeks to redeem and restore. So we're still stuck on the first one. And we've been on 2 weeks, and it looks like we'll be in on the third week. And I think only think this class lasts about, 7 weeks, I believe. So, you know, it'll accelerate possibly. So we'll deal with. Last week we talked about how God creates everything with purpose, and we spent a lot of time talking about the process of purpose in this age. Remember, we talked about how there's a purpose in relationship to our lives in this age, and then there's a purpose in the age to come. Our true purpose is in the age to come. Purpose in this age is seed, and how God operates in relationship to purpose, the fulfillment of purpose is, there's purpose. When we talk about purpose in this age, we talked about there's five major dynamics in relationship to it. There is purpose. Excuse me. There in the Old Testament terms that get used are plan, way, or path. The New Testament term used is course. Then we talked about how that God, that how literally our lives revolve around these steps. That at any point in time in your lives, you can look and there's a multitude of steps around you. You know? And that you pick around the room and look, where are you going to be in a period of time, you know, in the future? You're going, what's the steps? You know, like Tom right now, he's going, you know, it's a possibility he may be moving to D.C. Well, he's sitting here, standing here looking. Okay, that could be a step, but what if it's not the step? You know, is he stuck with us? Yeah, which would be cool. Telling me it's a hard time to pray for agreement on this, but no, so this is how our life is. You look at all these steps, and what God does is he makes these footsteps into a way. In other words, he's the one who orders these steps that will form a way. That's in Psalm 85:13. I think 13 or 15. And because it talks about in Jeremiah 10:23, where it says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way, this, is not in himself, nor is it in a man to direct his steps. Proverbs 13 and 16 and 20 talk about how the Lord directs our steps, one step at a time. And it's really beautiful when you start looking back in your life and how he orders these steps in ways that's just phenomenal. Then what we introduced at the end of class last week, flowing within the course of your life, is your ministry. And the ministry is what, where you're, where literally you release the resources in your lives to generate works. And these are what you've been created from the foundations of the world to fulfill. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should walk in them. The Greek word there is potential. It's not automatic. As I shared last week, it's a subjunctive. So this we can know. This we cannot know. This you cannot know either, except one step at a time. And you can, you know, like it says in Proverbs, a man plans his way, but the Lord directs the steps. So you can plan these out, but God's going to direct the steps. Ron, wait a minute, hold on. Mitch, let me turn this one on too, okay? Do what? It's on.
I was going to ask you, the outer lines of that path, are those boundaries? If we fall out of that, then...
It's just how I draw the path, you know, just try to illustrate this. Yeah, it's not like, oh, you get out, you know, you fall off of that. That's, you know, it's just my interpretation of art. So anyway. Tim had a great question last week. Daniel, can you get Tulio? Can you make on top of the? Thank you, brother. Good. Where's Daniel? Tim, go ahead. Okay. Here was Tim's question last week. Which is a great question.
You were talking about steps and not knowing the steps, and that those steps form a course or a path or a way that you don't know that leads to a purpose. And my question last week was, if you don't know the steps and you don't know the path and you don't know where the path is going and it's going to your purpose, what's the dynamic around whether or not you know your purpose? Okay. Is more or less what I was asking.
What if you don't know your purpose?
If you don't know what your purpose, you know, I was saying, you know, do you not know your purpose because you don't know the path? But some people do know their purpose and some people don't. So,
okay.
Can you be leading your steps, leading you on a course to a purpose that you don't even know? Is more or less what I was asking.
Okay. Great question, right? Now, the cool thing is this journey's not, the weight of this journey's not on us. That's the cool thing about it. Proverbs, you remember Psalms 37, 23, and 24? The steps of a man are what? Established by the Lord. So these, praise God, he establishes and directs these steps. And the Psalm 85, 13 says, and he will make your footsteps into a way. Now, Tim's question is great, but he worded it out, some people do know their purpose. Like fact, if you would turn your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 1. And I wish I knew... I wish I knew why some have clear vision of purpose. And I'll show you a couple of things about that here tonight. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 says, "But when he had set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, he was pleased to reveal in me his son, that I might preach him among the Gentiles." So Paul's destiny, Paul's purpose was to what? Preach to the Gentiles. Now let's go on with this. And, where's it at? I missed it. Oh, Lord, help me. Where you can, let's see if, it's 2, chapter 2, 2:7. "But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised." So Peter's purpose was to proclaim the gospel to who? Circumcised. So his destiny is here. Now, and notice this, y'all. These purpose statements are pretty, they're pretty broad. And it's pretty broad. And I'm gonna make a declaration here in a few minutes. Why some people really hear purpose and God doesn't so much reveal it to others. I'm one that he did reveal, speak to me when I was 21. He spoke to me purpose. He told me that I would minister gospel to the next generation and to be successful in business. So he spoke that into me back in when I was 21. And but then when I was 29, he added a dynamic to it yet. He flipped it on me, because before I was, up to that point in time, I was working full time and I was doing ministry part time. I mean, I'd work 60, 70 hours a week in the convenience store business, and then I'd spend 20, 30 hours a week ministering Jesus to youth at church, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, in youth prisons, just ministering to the next generation. But then in 1986, he said, "Go and minister the gospel full time." But he flipped it, did business on the part time and did ministry full time. And I was doing that, I'll be honest with you, here's a little confession here. I was doing that until 2 years ago, like in that pattern. We started Dwelling Place with me ministering full time and doing business part time. But 2 years ago when Dad died, it kind of threw a lot of things into flipping. And also, I gave Dad a word. I said, "Dad, I would, try to, some of the things that he tried to establish that I would see to continue." And so what happened? I flipped and started doing working full-time and ministering part-time. And praise God for the leadership and Dwelling Place that were, that was able to happen. Well, about not too long, God rebuked me and he said, "You kind of got things out of balance here." And so I've been in process of trying to flip that back. But my world is so complicated, it's just like you flip a switch and flip it back. And it's really kind of different. I don't know how I got there. Oh, go with me to Acts chapter 7. Let me show you one of these. Now, y'all, let me ask you a question about Paul. He said he was set apart from his mother's womb to preach the gospel, right? What do you think was going on in him before he got saved? Just the opposite. You will, when in the flesh, you will do the opposite of your destiny. And it's kind of interesting how that'll happen. Sometimes you can find out what somebody's destiny is by what they're doing in the flesh. Because they will try to destroy what their destiny is. In the flesh, it will. Flesh is in opposition to the spirit. Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 5. So, where did I say go?
Acts 7.
Yeah, look at this about Moses. It's in Acts chapter 7, verse 23. When he was approaching, Moses was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. Okay? To visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. Why is he visiting them? Notice verse 25. He supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. Now, y'all, he's 40 years old. When did the purpose of God for his life fulfill? I mean, not fulfill, come into his heart at age 40. Way long time into his life. So sometimes the real purpose in somebody's life, it will not manifest until later in a person's life. You know, it's just kind of interesting. However, I want to say this. I want to say something. I was going to say something. What am I going to say? It was really important. Sometimes when we start talking about this, I just want to say this. Don't put a lot of weight on this, because the weight is not on us, it's on him. You can really mess it up. You can mess it up. And how you can mess it up? You worry about it, get striving about it, because like I said last week, Proverbs 3:5-6 is it. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Know him. So if everything in your existence is headed toward the purpose, overarching purpose in this age, is literally twofold, is to know him, but also to be conformed in the very image of Jesus. And that's how you get there, really, to be honest with you. It's just knowing the Father. You will fulfill your purpose. Because I want to say this to you. Sometimes the purpose, very purpose of our existence can boil down to one work. One thing. I shared this with you last week. The woman who comes in and washes Jesus' feet with her hair. With tears and ointment. What did Jesus say? Wherever the gospel is preached, this woman will be remembered. Now, y'all, I have done a lot of things in my life, whether good or bad, that's debatable, and you have too. But the interesting thing is, it has not been said about us. Wherever the gospel is preached, what you have done, Rick, will be remembered. You know? There's a whole lot of people on this earth. Rick Sizemore, who's that? There's a whole lot of people in New River Valley don't know who Rick Sizemore is. But this woman, a memory of her, the one work. And Jesus uses that phrase about work, indeed, in relationship to what she did. So, you know, the answer in Tim's question, can you fulfill this? Oh, yeah. Because the cool thing is, he's our God. He's our God. And I will tell y'all this one time. And I've shared this story. How many of y'all heard me tell the story of Uncle Red? Raise your hand. Uncle Red's story. Uncle Red was a modern day mountain man. He lived in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. Seriously, he was. He was a guy that literally, I mean, married and had family, but literally he would spend every afternoon off to work, he'd go home and eat supper and go up in the mountains, and a lot of times he was hunting in some way, shape, or form. There was not, he did not probably know there was not a place in that area that he did not know in Southwest Virginia, Big Stone Gap area. So anyway, I'm a Florida boy, so coming back up in the mountains of Virginia, that was always an exciting time for me. You know, going from Flatlander up into Virginia. And Uncle Red was the center of my focus as a kid. And for a lot of time I would say, you know, Uncle Red, take me mountain climbing, take me mountain climbing. Of course, Flatlander, you know, mountain climbing's a big different definition. But he'd go, okay. Yeah, I'm walking uphill, that's right. You know, and so he said, okay, Saturday when I'm not working, I'll take you up, we'll go. And so anyway, so we leave. I had a friend there with me from Florida had come up to visit me. I was probably about 10 or 11. So we go, he takes us out. We leave early in the morning, and it was, you know, the fog's just coming up off the mountains. And we start walking. And I mean, we walk until it's probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we started probably 7-ish. And all of a sudden, it entered my mind that Uncle Red was lost. I mean, seriously, I said, Uncle Red, do you know where you're at? And he wouldn't say a word. I said, do you know where you're at? And I kept asking him, and he'd go, we're about to step over this log right here. You know, stuff like that. So we kept walking, and all of a sudden, I mean, it probably wasn't 2 o'clock when I started asking. It was probably around noon, because I was also getting hungry. And but I started asking, and I am stressed out because I am sincerely believing that Uncle Red is lost. And so we kept walking probably to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then finally, I mean, I'm freaked out. I've got these visions that, you know, we're going to be lost in the mountains forever, you know, and that was it. My life was over, you know. And I looked, and about that time, Uncle Red said, y'all see that hill over there? I mean, it was like off in the distance. And we go, yeah. You go over that hill and over to the right, our car will be there. Sure enough. So, I mean, we took off, you know, we took off running. And we crossed the hill, and just exactly where he said the car was, there it was. Well, the interesting thing was, is when Uncle Red died, I was preaching his funeral. And I'll never forget this. I was praying about what to share at his funeral. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Rick, tell them that story. But then what you need to tell them is how we get, many times we get on this journey and we think we're lost. And God said to me that day in the shower, he says, what you need to do is communicate is you need to enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Well, I wish I could tell you that since the Lord spoke to me that time that I have thoroughly took that to heart and spent my life trying to enjoy the journey. But one thing that I am a firm believer in is that the Lord will get us here. He's not lost. He's not lost. So guess what? When we're trusting in him and not leaning on our understanding, guess what? We're not lost. And so to answer Tim's question, that was a great question. I really appreciate Tim coming up and asking it that that yes, if God has told you this, that's cool. If he hasn't told you that, there may be a reason why. He may have told you and you just haven't picked up on it, because religion may have gone, it needs to be grandiose or something like this, you know. It could be totally, those could be the case. But also, God may not have revealed it. But rest assured, he has said this, I will direct your steps and I'll make your footsteps into a way. I'll get you there. You will fulfill it. Don't lean on your understanding. It'll get you there. I want to show you something real quick in the top of page 5. Well, number B. In this place right here, to fulfill these works of God, one of the key moments, and we're going to look at here in a few minutes here, is that what these things coincide with are what what Scripture calls kairos, kairos moments. And we'll see that in a few minutes. But what happens is you get in these rendezvous of relationships, and what will happen is, see these resources that God has given us? And what, you know, financial resources, relationships, words, faith, body, your physical body, time, a ministry or gifting. One of those resources could be the very thing that God's using to fulfill a kairos moment. You know, last week I mentioned about, you know, the Longs, how their home is a resource to them, but how their home has been a source to minister to many people. Scores of people down through the years, right? Well, those people, I guarantee this, those people experienced kairos moments in their home that directed the course of their lives. And you think about this, you know, in fact, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I will say this, and we'll see it in a few minutes. You think in your life where there were rendezvous moments where people, you had kairos moments from people who interrupted your life and they spoke something or took one of these resources and had an impact in your life. Kind of interesting to think about. It'd be cool to go around the room and go, okay, tell me a kairos moment that it had in your life from somebody else. You know, it'd be really cool. Somebody give me one. Somebody. Marguerite? Hold on. I'm sorry. Tim's got this. Thanks, Tim.
When Mitch played the video of him in Costa Rica, I felt like the Lord said, "You'll be there." You get nervous when you hold the mic. So fast forward, and I was like, I don't think I can do that, Lord, because I have so much fear and anxiety. So fast forward 4 years, and then my Bethel missions trip was to Costa Rica, and I went to the Sarah and Jason Fuller's resort place, and I'm sitting in the back watching the monkeys run around, and that video that Mitch played. That Mitch played, that he was there. The Lord said, "I told you so." And I just start crying because it wasn't me in myself. I could not do that. And in that relationship, now the pastor from Costa Rica is going to come Labor Day weekend and get to know our family. And so that was definitely a kairos moment.
Anybody else? That's cool, Marguerite. Anybody else got one? This had an effect in your life, direction of your life. Somebody be bold. Come on. Okay. You're somebody else. Put it up to your mouth there.
1976, I moved to College Park, Maryland, and my husband taught at the university. And God told me he was going to make me a mother in this area. And it's like, I didn't think anything about it until 20 years later when I look back. And there was a whole bunch of key gals that I discipled. And they're off doing wonderful things. But I didn't think about it after he told me until I looked back and said, like, oh, wow. I could not have planned that.
That's exactly. That is so cool. That is so cool. And wherever those women of God go, you know, they sow things and it has an effect in your life. I mean, it's sort of what I call the ultimate pyramid scheme. You know, God, you know, you touch one person's life, they touch another person's life. And, think about the Apostle Paul. He gets thrown in jail. He writes a few letters. Look at the, what do you call that when you're on the bottom of the, the top of the pyramid? I mean, So, anybody else, real quick, before we go on? Okay, nobody else. So we'll go on. But obviously, the fulfillment of purpose in this age has, and I wish we could go into more details of how this sows directly into the age to come, and how it affects your eternal destiny. You know, that's why I tell people, you better suck up to Matthew Hubbard. You know, because it says in the Word, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, you know. And, you know, how many sermons does Matthew Hubbard preach every Sunday morning? Probably the most significant preaching that occurs on a Sunday morning dwelling place comes from Matthew. How many people's lives does he touch? And so, you know, we look at that, and it's going to be, it's kind of really kind of exciting if you think about it. When we get to heaven, there's Matthew going to be totally different than he is now. Talking, just, but, you know, he's going to be one of the big dogs when we get there. I just know it, you know, because of the things he's sown into so many people's lives that has an eternal effect, you know. You know, the people talk about, you know, when I'm sorry, I'm laboring something here and we need to go on. But talk about Down syndrome's kids, you know, where the world wants to, you know, I think in some places in the world, if they do a test and it's Down syndrome, they automatically will do an abortion. But how many lives can be touched by somebody that's Down syndrome? Sure, there's challenges on that, but man, the effects of that, you know. So, just like Matthew. So anyway, that will lead to the fulfillment of the eternal purpose. So, God's created, the sovereign God has created us with purpose. And then let's go skip on down and over on page 6. And so in this, one of the things that God has created us with, let's go to Acts chapter 17. And so when you think about the sovereign God and how he's created all of creation in motion, when he said, let there be light, because you know, and just real quick, you know that before the foundations of the world, let me just speak this real quick, you were in the fabric of the earth. In Psalm 139, verse 15 talks that you were skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. You were made in the depths of the earth. Your DNA was in the midst of creation. And you see this in Romans chapter 8, where all of creation suffers the pains of childbirth even unto now. You want to know when Jesus comes? It's when the last person whose purpose to be born, and y'all have heard me probably say this before, but when the last person whose purpose to be born will be born, that's when it's all thing gets wrapped up. Because anything before then is abortion. And so God wrote everybody's names, Revelation 17:8, in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundations of the world. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in fact, I'm getting ahead of myself. I just get excited thinking about this stuff. But God said, when he said, let there be light, everything was there. He set it in motion. And we know that, like it says in Psalm 139, verse 16 and 17, that how you God saw you in your mother's womb, and he saw all the days that were ordained for you when as yet there was not one of them. And we know that those days that he purposed for you, according to Jeremiah 29:11, are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you the what? This, the future and the hope. So, but he did know. He did see the times that when things messed up. That's why it says in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus died on the cross before the foundations of the world. That's the crazy thing to think about. That's why it was so powerful when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, not my will, but your will be done. And so, very powerful statement in that whole thing. And it's the same thing with us, that when our whole destiny is at this stake, whenever we say, okay, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. And Names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Names, according to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, are blotted out. So, this whole thing set in motion. And so he puts purpose and time, purpose on it, and plans and paths and steps. And he's working. Ron said it the other day, according to Ephesians chapter 1, he's working all things according to the counsel of his will. And he's working, but at the same time, he's working to cause all things to be what? Work out together for what? Our good. That's the craziness of this sovereign God, because he didn't predestine it in a way that you cannot violate it. And that's why the next statement next week we'll deal with. The sovereign God grants the freedom to either receive and fulfill or reject and violate purpose, time, boundaries, and authority. That is the crazy thing. That is the awesomeness of this love. He didn't create us to be robots. He created us with the authority. We'll talk about that in a second. So anyway, I'm running my mouth. Sorry. So anyway, boundaries. Now that's interesting. Ron, you said that and you ask about this. And really probably what I could have should have said is yeah. Because look at this in 17:24. I'll start in 17:24. God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temple made with hands, neither is he served by human hands as he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life, breath, and all things. He made from one, Adam, every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times, there's where we're going to talk about time, and boundaries of their habitation. Okay, we're going to talk about boundaries. What does that mean? Because when we're talking about the sovereign God working, and he creates everything with boundaries, and he says the boundaries for your habitation. Well, let's look at some of this stuff. I got in your notes, I've got it backwards. Literally, first off, when I say boundaries, God established a course for your life. You know, where do you live? You know? I mean, you think about this. Isaiah, you know, Isaiah was raised in Maryland, right? Delaware. Sorry about that. That's probably, people want to slap me for that. And in Delaware, I knew that. He raised up in Delaware. Well, that's God designed. But then he comes to a school called Virginia Tech. And there God says, purposes and plans before the foundations of the world, directing his steps that he gets saved. And there, and that's the purpose of God. And that was God's plan. But here's the crazy thing is, I will say this to you, these boundaries wrong pen. What can happen is, and I have experienced this firsthand in my life, is this course and the boundaries of this course, you can get out here. And can I tell you what it's like out here? It ain't cool. It is not cool. I did that in the mid-1990s. And y'all have heard my testimony and that stuff, so there ain't no sense of me going there. But you can get out here. But here's the cool thing is God does. He's working all things. He's working to cause all things to work out for our good. The Lord, I love 2 Samuel 14:14, where it says, the Lord God does not take away life, but plans ways to bring the banished ones back. And so what you'll find yourself end up doing, and it's kind of interesting to me, in 1994, when I left here, we were in the process doing campus ministry at Virginia Tech in Radford. God was doing crazy things here. And I had just started talking to a group of people about birthing a church here. But at the same time, that's going on about us birthing a church here. the church back where I had left experienced some problems, and I'm feeling guilty about leaving them. And if I, you know, I'm listening to the lies that if I had not left them, they would not experience those issues, which is all a lie from the pit of hell. I go back there being disobedient to God. I get here. Well, I end up getting out there into a wilderness of death. I ended up with heart problems, developed two surgeries. Paula had surgery. We're about to lose Shay into the world. And I'm in a crazy place. God rebukes me, says I'm there in sin. So I go, so what do I do, God? And God leads me to Boone. And Boone was a place like an oasis in the middle of the wilderness. And it's there in Boone that the guys ministered to me, and I, you know, strengthened back up and got confidence back in the Lord. Daryl Roberts says to me, you're supposed to go back to Blacksburg and birth a church. So guess what? Boop. What do? End back up at the same place I was, same, just, what, 9 years later. Divine GPS, that's right. That's right. Sharon's got a question or a comment. Sharon.
That just reminds me of that verse that says, let's see, and you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or to the left.
Yeah.
I can't remember the reference, but that's such a good verse.
Oh, it is. It is. Another one I like, it, Sharon, is the one in Psalm 32 where it says, he will counsel you with his eye upon you. And I love that Psalm, Lou, that Psalm 37. I've been quoting it, 23 and 24. You know, steps of man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. If you fall, you will not fall headlong because the Lord holds you by the hand. I think I shared that verse in that passage last time with you. He holds you by the hand. Y'all, I didn't bust it face first and out here. There was a lot of frustration. But God brought me back to this spot. And here we are. Lou.
I don't know if I'm off on this, but check me out on it. This purpose thing, the way I think of this purpose is that we're made to honor and love God. First. So that's like our first